Hey, puppy.
Welcome to the Toddcast. This is my dog Lola.
Lola.
My other one is sitting laying beside me. That's Maddie.
Does Lola eat from the red can or the blue can?
Well, I don't, you know what? We don't have red and yellow. We have green and then black and gold because we have a Steeler bowl. And we have a just regular generic food bowl. So, you know, that's just what it is. So, yeah. But anyway, I'm John. I'm your host as normal. With me this week is Tim Cope from our waterfront store, assistant manager extraordinaire. And
thank you, extraordinaire. I can't wait.
Filling in for Bo, and you know, maybe if he does well today, we'll talk to Bo about having to join full on, which might just happen anyway. I don't know. Depends on how busy you are. You may know Tim from all of our online Facebook sales that come out of the waterfront store, and he does a great job with that. He just came off of a really, really hot one, I guess. I mean, you put up what, 40 books and you sold all but three. So that's crazy.
Yep.
So every week, check it out, 6 o'clock at NDC Waterfront. Check out the events. Hey. So just some housekeeping stuff. NDC events coming up. We have the basement sale coming up at the end of the month on the 30th, 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. All kinds of crazy 500,000 plus books all sorted. Long box special during that day for $250 plus tax. We're gonna limit the basement to 50 people at a time, but that doesn't mean there's nowhere else to shop. Upstairs has another like 200,000 plus books to shop to, so you can it does go very quickly because some people go to the basement and they just want to get a couple things, and some people want to be down there all day. So don't think you're gonna have to wait long, because I think the longest wait anybody had last time was probably 15 minutes. So,
I was just going to say, so when I got there in June, I was down by like the corner, which is like, like almost like two blocks or whatever. So I'm down by the corner. I got in the store and I waited maybe 15 minutes and I finally got downstairs. So it goes pretty quick. So,
yeah, like I said, there's some people that go down there, they just look for the hot book that they want to get, and then they're out. There's some people that like to be there all day, teach their own. It's awesome. If you want to come early and do the early bird sale, you can still go to ndcomics.com, find the basement sale in the slider, click on the little link, purchase it over online. It's an extra $50 ahead of time, so it's $300 plus tax, but it gets you a slot between Thursday and Sunday of this coming week. The store will reach out to you to work it out after you pay for it. You commit to a long box. You can't bring a friend to help you. It's just you in that long box, and you're in the basement as long as you want. We've had probably 8 people so far doing that, which has been great. And both or all the days that we've had them, most of them were out of there by like 3 o'clock. Because when you can get in there at 10 o'clock and just blaze for 5 hours, and you don't have to wait for somebody to get out of the section you're looking for, it moves. Yeah. It definitely helps out. But if you're not going to be able to commit to a long box, it may not be the option for you. But it is still a really great option if you want it.
Especially if the title you're looking for is one of the popular ones, like Uncanny X-Men or Batman, Detective Comics, Superman, stuff like that. That's always where a lot of people are like, kind of crowded together. But if you're getting like some obscure title, like you probably have an easier time getting there. So
I was down there with Jim Rugg last week, and it was me, him, and one other guy, and the other guy was out of there by like 1 o'clock. Jim was there, I think he was there till like 4, but he was looking at, like, he and I were talking about how like he committed to the long box, and I was just looking for all these crazy dumb things. And we talked about all these fun indie books that we're into. Like, we both realized that we're into Fat Ninja. I love Fat Ninja.
Nice.
And he turned me on to like another book that Fat Ninja is actually in too. And I was like, this is crazy.
Nice.
And it was cool to see Jim. I love Jim. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
And if you haven't, you don't know who he is, he's done Street Angel, and a couple other smaller things, mostly Image stuff.
American Barbarian, is that what it was?
That was Tom Scioli.
Oh, Tom Scioli, yeah. That's right.
But him, Tom, and Ed Pisker all do Cartoonist Kayfabe, which is also a great podcast to watch. Check it out. All right, first Saturday of February, so the Saturday after the basement sale, Cranberry will have their anniversary sale, which is going to be discounts on a couple different things. It's like 10% off trades, toys, gaming, back issues, I think, and then it's like 20% off Silver Age, I think. And 50% off dollar books. They don't have a big dollar book selection. They are one of our smallest stores, but do come out and help support. It's great. It's kind of always the store that's kind of forgotten because that plaza doesn't get shopped a lot. So they tend to randomly sometimes have really good stuff. And I'm just like, how are you not selling this? Yeah. Everyone else is. And they're just like,
yeah,
I don't know. So, so check it out. It's right up on 19, north and just north in Cranberry. It's a great time. I'll be there hanging out. Also a thing in February that's going to happen is our Mills store and our Ohio Valley store are going to have some quarter books. This is something they've done for the past couple of years. They're super mature type things, but they also have space that they can separate them from everything else. Like, unlike the waterfront, which is like just too big and you wouldn't be able to tell if somebody pulled something from a quarter book section or a dollar book section. So they have a good way of separating it. They've done it for years. It's going to be for most of February. So we're going to try to nail those dates down through the end of next week, and we'll let you know. So look for that probably around the second week of February. Also, our rotation stocks are happening next week. So if you're tired of looking at some of the same bulky $3 Silver Age in one store, guess what? It's going to change. Everything switches around. That's something I get to do next Tuesday. I'm not exactly excited to do it because it's a lot of stuff, but it's a lot of fun. But
it's Tuesday, always exciting for the stores too. Like, I always look forward to it. I'm like, oh my God, what are we going to get? And then you feel like a kid. It's like before anybody gets in, I'm like salivating over, oh, what book's in here? You know? So,
right. So Tuesday and Wednesday, between Tuesday and Wednesday, everything will be shifting. So look for that as well. There is a lot of cool stuff. Also, the graphic novel discount selection at the Mills is going to disappear with this one. It is going away. So if you want to dig in those $3 trades, you got to get out to the Mills this weekend because it will be gone on Tuesday and it will probably never come back.
You have one chance and then it will disappear.
Yes.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. Terrible magic. It's great.
Yes, it's terrible magic.
All right. So my dog keeps giving me this look like, Dad, shut up and pet me. And I'm just like, I'm downstairs today because my wife is actually up at my mother-in-law.
I was going to say.
Like, yeah, this is our living room. Walls? Yeah, right? Yeah. So
I love that picture with the the glasses on. So that's really cool.
Yeah, we just have Boston's everywhere. It's crazy. Yeah. There's a pillow over here.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So. Nice. I got one of my fraternity shingles up there. That's our alumni association charter.
Okay.
So, all right, now we're going to go to comics because why not? So I'm going to go from my least favorite to my favorite this week. So to start off, I'm going with Future State Immortal Wonder Woman number one. So, overall, it was okay, but it really didn't move the needle for me. The cool part about the Diana story was it kind of felt like an Orpheus story for a while there, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we're going with Apocalypse and the New Gods stuff, and then it's all kinds of crazy. But like, it's cool because she talks to like the ghost of Batman, so that was kind of cool. So then she kind of takes on Apocalypse for a little fight. The art in this is absolutely freaking phenomenal. And I believe that is Jen Bartel.
I've noticed that with a lot of these titles where even if I'm not really getting into the story,
it's been fantastic. I mean, Becky Cloonan's pretty solid as a writer, and there's some, like, it was very good up until like when it kind of went to the apocalypse stuff. It just kind of got weird. Like it didn't seem to flow into a story that made enough sense. I almost feel like it was two books that got jammed into one, and it just kind of was dealt with. But then the backup story with Nubali, is that how you say it?
Nubian? It's comic book, Nubian? So I don't know. Probably how you say it until somebody says it different.
The new Wonder Woman. It was actually very action packed and reminded me of like older like 90s. Like the who was doing the Phil Jimenez era type of stuff. And this is Aletha Martinez, that did the art on it, and I really like the art a lot. McKinney's story, again, not super great. The action was cool. Like the first half of the story was really good. And then like she goes to this random like bar that's filled with gods and demigods. And it's just kind of meh. Like I was just like, okay. Like the story like really, really slowed down. Nubia, I think is actually how you say it. But overall, it was okay. None of the future state find, stuff is super, kicking for me. So,
if you can find that Peach Momoko variant, it's worth it just for that, for this Wonder Woman issue. It was.
Can I just say I'm not actually that big of a fan of Peach Momoko?
I can understand that. I mean, it's a watercolor, kind of painted style. So I could understand why some people aren't. I watched her do a Marvel live draw. It was like 2 weeks ago, and it was fantastic because her agent, which is her husband, had to talk because she doesn't know English. But it was really interesting to hear why she does certain things and stuff. So, but it's a nice cover. So,
1 second. Good job. There we go. Sorry. I accidentally hit a button and I started playing and hearing our own live stream on there because I was like, oh, I'm gonna check for comments. Never mind.
I'll say too real quick about the future state stuff. It's one of those ones that's like, if you know, obviously it was supposed to be something that they cut short when the changes started happening. So it felt like, hey, let's salvage what we have. And the stories might not end up being that great, but there's going to be a lot of crazy first appearances of different people in here. So it's almost worth it to get the issues to make sure you're getting like that first Wonder Woman, Immortal Wonder Woman and things like that, just so you have those first appearances, because now she's getting her own show. The Brazilian Wonder Woman's getting her own show on HBO Max. So, you know, if you're leery because of the, you've heard about the stories, it's worth it, you know, just for the,
I mean, I definitely think that if that story got fleshed out, it would be very good. Yeah. It just felt like, cause like I said, it was really good. And then all of a sudden it got real slow. Like it was like
that Green Lantern that we talked about last week. It felt like they took three stories and kind of chopped them short and just put them in a $7 book. So
it's like buying, it's like Wonder Woman for Dummies, you know, or like the, what was it called? Like the, Cliff Notes version.
Oh, yeah, the Cliff Notes.
Cliff Notes version of Future State. So, all right, what book do you have?
So I did King in Black 3 and Black Cat. We could talk about either of them. The big thing, I mean, we can just jump right into King in Black because it's, I mean, the story starts to move a little bit more. The big thing is that final page, which is you find out that there's an opposite of Null, and for a while, we were all speculating that maybe it was Wraith, because that character hadn't been used for like ever. And then Donny Cates brings him in, does a one shot, and everybody's kind of like, oh, maybe this is the opposite of Null. This is like his anti-Venom. And then at the last page of this current issue, which is just action packed, you find out that he does have an opposite, and it's Silver Surfer. So, and it's Silver Surfer Black. So,
neat.
Read. So if you haven't read Silver Surfer Black, now's the time. If you're reading King in Black, because that story is awesome. And Trad Moore's art in that is fantastic, especially if you get that Treasury edition.
Oh yeah. I love it.
Yeah. You just got that art, like the scene, the shot with Galactus from like, you know, the low angle where it looks real tall. It looks so good in that Treasury size. But the King in Black was really good. The action started to move forward. Thor kind of gets into the mix in this issue. But like I said, I feel like these next two issues after this reveal with Silver Surfer, I feel like these next two issues are really going to just be like pounded home and big action. So I'm looking forward to that.
That's awesome.
So, yep.
Cool. My next book is Future State Nightwing number one. So, as some of you know, I am a very large Nightwing fan. This book wasn't terrible. It wasn't that bad either. It felt like a typical Nightwing number one. And Nicola Scott's art crushed it. It felt very good. This reminded me, the feel of this book reminded me a lot of the New 52 run. But it's definitely it's almost like the setting of it. It feels a lot more like Batman Beyond a little bit. Right.
Okay.
Just because it's like in a future city style more. And then, where his Batcave is kind of cool.
Nightwing one, just if anybody's following the Future State stuff, this is anywhere from the year 2025, I think it starts, all the way to the end of time, and they jump around. And that's the part that could be a little bit confusing. Yeah. And this one probably feels more like Nightwing because it's set in 2025. So it's only a few years in the future. So,
and whoever the new Batman is, he knows who it is.
Okay.
And Babs is in this for a quick second, but it definitely felt like a Nightwing book, which was good. It just wasn't a super, super great Nightwing book. But it was, it had a lot more potential, I think, than some of the other stuff that I've read from Future. That book was a little more cohesive than all of the Green Lantern book. you know.
Well, like I said, probably because of where it falls in the timeline, with it only being a few years in the future, it's probably able to stick more towards the feel of like what we know from Nightwing than say like Immortal Wonder Woman, which I think takes place towards the end of time on that timeline.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, and that's a fair assessment, I guess. So.
And you mentioned Babs, just to throw this out. They cast Barbara Gordon to be Oracle in season 3 for Titans on HBO. Oh,
nice.
And the speculation is that it's going to be Oracle because the actress that's playing her had lost her leg in 2016.
Wow.
So most likely will be just the Barbara Gordon in the wheelchair, the Oracle version. So I'm excited to see... You know how that goes.
That was always my favorite version of Barbara Gordon. Was the Oracle? Like I've never been a big fan of her as Batgirl. I did like the Batgirl of Burnside stuff because I thought it was something kind of new that was kind of neat. I know a lot of people hated it, but I thought it was cool. I also like the outfit. So,
you know, like the Batgirl from the animated Killing Joke movie, and she sleeps with Bruce Wayne on the rooftop.
I mean,
so weird.
I mean, there was a Barbara that did sleep with him. Just remember that.
I know. It's just weird to see that in like that Batman animated series style. Like,
right.
Those might have been fantasies in my head when I was younger, but I felt weird having them play out.
Yeah. Well, remember, like, didn't she end up being like pregnant or something for a minute? And like Dick was like, oh, this is crazy. And she's like, it's Bruce's.
I don't remember that, but
I swear that happened. Anyway, so talk about, what was the other book?
Catwoman.
Catwoman. Do it.
Catwoman was...
This is the future crazy. State Cat? Or Black Cat?
I'm talking about Black Cat. Sorry. Yeah.
Black
Cat is a lot of fun. I'm glad that they brought this book back, and I'm hoping that it continues forward after the King in Black stuff. Basically, in the first issue, she is thrust into this madness where everybody is getting turned into a symbiote, and she hasn't yet. And Doctor Strange gets taken, and that's where this one starts. And at the end of the first issue, she says, kind of almost like in a Nick Cage way, she's like, I know what we're going to do. We're going to steal Doctor Strange. That's the whole thing that's going on right now. She's going to steal Doctor Strange back from Null. And the way she's doing that is with some of the anti-venom, like goo.
Okay.
So she wears the anti-venom symbiote and is led by none other than Bats the dog to help, which is, if you don't know, is Doctor Strange's, if anybody doesn't know, it's Doctor Strange's dog that was killed by Loki. And it's a wild adventure of her just trying to fight through symbiotes and through magic to try and grab Doctor Strange and bring him back, because she thinks that magic is going to be the one thing that will help turn the tides in this fight. And since Doctor Strange had been taken, that was less hope for them. So it was a really fun, lot of action. It was really quick moving. It was cool to see her in like the anti-venom kind of suit, which I'm sure is going to make it a hot book just for that. But it was a lot of fun. And I love Bats the dog. So I think it's just a cool idea.
Well, I love Black Cat and anti-venom and Bats the dog. So
yeah. I mean, it was just like, at the end of the first issue when she's like, we're going to steal Doctor Strange. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like, you know, it felt, I was like, Nick Cage might have well been saying it. So,
but it
was,
I feel like it's like a Doctor Who episode.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. It moved really quick, a lot of good action. The artwork is really fun. So I would really recommend checking that out. And if you haven't read the first issue, you should be able to find it at stores, and I'd pick them both up because a lot of fun. So
cool. My next book, because you said it wrong, and I was like, oh yeah, that's my next book. Yeah. Batman Catwoman number 2 from the Black Label End. This book, so Tom King is hit or miss for me. I like him when he has a finite amount of issues to do something in. Which this is like a 12 issue of maxi series, I believe.
Yeah.
So every book has to count, and he puts all of it in here, and it is great. There's this awesome like future part where old Catwoman is sitting with old Joker, and they're talking about this this heist they did together. There's crazy, ridiculous, gratuitous butt shots of Catwoman.
Joker had like the pieces of hair, like the green pieces of hair.
Yeah, yeah, like he's balding and he's like, yeah. Funny. Clayman's art in here is absolutely phenomenal. And it's really, really good. They allude to some things that we didn't really knew what happened in Tom King's original storyline. So that was kind of cool. You find out some of the reasons why the wedding didn't happen. It's just really good. And like the final page is just amazeballs. It's amazeballs. Definitely check that out if you're into that book. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And I'm not a big Batman fan. I'm not a big Catwoman fan, but that book, I liked it because it was going to be a mini slash maxi series. And I like Tom King when he's confined to X amount of books. That's why I liked Strange Adventures. That's why I liked Vision. That's why I liked Mr. Miracle. Like, they're all very confined. So
this is the first Tom King thing that I have liked so far. Really? I'm not a big Tom King fan. I'm usually really hard on him.
You didn't like Mr. Miracle? You didn't like...
I'll be honest, I didn't read Mr. Miracle. So I haven't read Mr. Miracle because I don't really know a lot about the character, which is probably something you don't want to say when you're doing a comic book podcast. But
no one talked to Tim about any new gods. We'll be fine.
I've read the other stuff, and like the last draw for me was Heroes in Crisis because I just thought that was just a dumpster fire. Because I'm a big Wally fan, and I hated what they did with him. Later, they kind of redeemed him in the Flash Forward miniseries, and now that's all been undone, anyways. With the Death Metal, but I've enjoyed these two issues so far, and I wasn't going to give it a shot, and then I saw the stuff with the Phantom Menace, which I'm a huge fan of that movie. I think it's still one of the best comic book movies that ever been made. So that got me into this.
You mean Ghost of the Phantasm?
Ghost of the Phantasm. What did I say?
You said the Phantom Menace. I knew what you meant. And then I was like, I was like, Bo's watching because he just said, amen, somebody else who likes Wally.
I just was selling a bunch of these Darth Maul books.
Yeah.
So that's probably where I got.
Totally cool.
But
Star Wars on the mind. It's fine.
Yeah, these two issues so far, I've loved them. So I'm going to give him, the shot the whole way through. So
cool. All right. The last book I have, and I think you read this too, was the Iron Fist #1, Heart of the Dragon by Larry Hama and Dave Wachter, who is a Pittsburgh guy. Pittsburgh transplant, originally from like the Cleveland area. This book was super awesome. Like, I'm not even a huge Iron Fist fan, and this book was amazing. I picked it up because I like both Larry Hama and Dave Wachter. So first off, his art is absolutely phenomenal. It fits gorgeous. This book so well. The writing is pretty much on pace with what I really want. Like it ebbed and flowed where it needed to be. It had the suspense where it needed to be, and it felt like an Iron Fist book. It felt very good. I like the Taskmaster's in it, so that's kind of cool.
I think the reason that I agree with you, I thought that it was really good, and I think the thing that I liked about it was this is a mini series. I believe this is a mini. And much like the Falcon and Winter Soldier mini and the Ant-Man mini, those books are just kind of have like a nice quick flow to them. Mm-hmm. And you're able to get right into the story and right into the action. And this one was just another one of those minis that does the same thing. And they found good writers and good artists. The art feels like, there's motion to it, which you want when you have somebody that's doing, Kung Fu and different things like that. So I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, and we got to see some Lady Bullseye. When's the last time we saw Lady Bullseye, right?
All the way back in that Brubaker Daredevil run when she first got introduced.
There's a really awesome panel, though, where a bunch of, zombie ninjas are swarming them. And I'm just like, yeah, you definitely drew Ninja Turtles for a long time because they have all of the Ninja Turtles weapons.
Yeah, show it, show it, show it.
I love Luke Cage's look in this too because I like him with the bigger beard.
I do too. I like him with the bigger beard. He just feels
a personal favorite for me.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, I just thought this book was so good. and I'm not going to give away the ending because it's a cliffhanger that leads into more stuff, and it's very, very cool. So
it's not something that Marvel's done a lot with these little minis, like 4 and 5 issue things. And as of late, the last couple years, they're doing them. And like I said, that Falcon and Winter Soldier was fantastic. The Ant-Man little mini was fantastic. So I would definitely recommend checking out all these little minis that they're doing, because they seem to have be really dialed in with picking the right teams to do them. So
right. Yeah. Okay. So are we done talking comics? Can we talk about WandaVision now? Okay, cool.
Yeah. I've been talking about it all week.
Oh man. I have too. A lot of people have asked me about it. So if you haven't watched the first two episodes of WandaVision, skip ahead like 10 minutes.
And spoiler. It's been a week. Yeah. What have you people been doing?
Exactly. The new episode comes out tomorrow. We're going to spoil this a little bit. Yeah. So I was actually in Ohio. I was talking to Kyle, the assistant manager there. And he was like, I really want to talk to you about the show. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, I loved it because I love Old Nick at Night. I was like, oh my God, this is great. So one of the things that I will say is if it would have just been episode 1, I probably wouldn't have liked it as much.
Yeah.
Cause episode 1 was very fast, and it just kind of set the tone of the reality they're in.
And a lot of people been saying that too.
Right. And it's full on Dick Van Dyke. So, which was also awesome. There were so many good cameos or Easter eggs of Dick Van Dyke. That was great.
Cause he was he helped out.
Yeah.
With that show. And he didn't even, he had said he didn't even know the popularity of the Marvel universe. He's like, oh, I just figured I'm helping out with this stupid little comic book show. And I just like thought that was awesome. I love him. So
I do too. Yeah. And then the second episode was Bewitched, and I love that the intros change to match the show they're doing. I love that the house changes.
Yep.
And I like what they're doing. I also like the idea that they were 30-minute episodes, because in the 50s and 60s, that's how long a sitcom was. So now that we're going to get into the 70s and the 80s, I think that's when we're going to start seeing it be a little longer. Or we may have to wait till the 90s. It's at least going to be the 80s earliest that we'll see the full hour long, I think. But
this is my puppy Link, by the way.
Aww.
Here, bud. Over here.
Nice.
I'll tell you what I'm hoping for, since you brought up, all the different eras. I'm hoping by the time we get to that Brady Bunch era, which we've already seen her kind of like in that setting in the stills. I just want a theme song like that. We saw a theme song in the second episode with the animated. I want like a Brady Bunch style theme song for that episode. I think it's going to be fantastic. So
my question is, are we going to see Quicksilver as at all in there?
That's the rumors that Evan Peters has been on set.
Well, Evan Peters is the Quicksilver from the Fox universe,
though. From the Fox. Yeah. So will we see Kick-Ass in here as Quicksilver again?
That's the same guy.
Oh, is it? Who's no, the guy from Fox.
Yeah. Hold on.
Evan Peters.
I'll look. Yeah.
I'm talking, who's the guy that played, oh, I'm sorry. They were both in Kick-Ass. I forgot. The guy that played Kick-Ass was Quicksilver in the MCU that died in Ultron. That's not Evan Peters.
Right. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Yeah.
That's who it was. But, yeah. So,
but Evan Peters was in both movies. Yeah. Like, he was in both Kick-Ass. That. Yeah. It's okay. But I really thought it was, I thought the nods, especially the Bewitched episode, the nods to the Bewitched stuff with like the talent show was awesome. Yeah. I really feel that, like, I'm still trying to figure out who Emma Caulfield's character actually is. And
I think the thing I liked about the talent show too is like when you watch like a magic show, it's like, hey, this is fake or this is real. But then there's all these things that make it fake, or, you know, behind the scenes. And it's the complete opposite. His magic and their magic is real. Mm-hmm. But, oh, quick, let me, oh, here's a pulley system. You know what I mean? So it was almost like reverse magic. And I thought that was a really cool way to do that. So,
The creepy for the children chant was kind of awkward. I think, so I think Emma Caulfield, and this is my speculation. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to end up being Enchantress.
Okay.
Cause it would make sense for that character to do kind of the stuff that she's doing. If she's the one controlling all this stuff. Cool. But I don't know. Like we will find out, I guess. The other thing is Vision actually alive? Are all these people actually alive? And we saw Monica Rambeau, but not as Monica Rambeau. And there was some crazy fan theory that the sword helicopter we saw was Monica Rambeau's. That's how she got in there.
Yeah.
I also think it was cool that I saw this other awesome Easter egg that a bunch of the sword agents we saw were actually agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in either movies or the TV show before.
Yeah.
So is it just kind of like, well, S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't exist, we're unemployed. Oh, hey,
yeah.
Put my resume in at S.W.O.R.D.
Well, that's the, since you brought up S.W.O.R.D., that's the other thing that's interesting, because it's been confirmed that it's not, you know, strategic world protection. It's strategic weapon. And you see the beekeeper come up at the end, which we all know is more, you know, AIM. I think AIM, but he had the S.W.O.R.D. logo on it.
Yeah. So, and he was one of the guys that used to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. guy.
Yeah. So did AIM, which we know was in Iron Man 3, did AIM just rebrand as S.W.O.R.D.?
Or did,
you know,
did the AIM guys and the short S.H.I.E.L.D. guys
kind of merge,
the guys that actually were trying to do good merge together and become S.W.O.R.D.?
I honestly think that we're going to see MODOK at some point. I think this is a live-action MODOK.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Because you've got the Mind Stone, and obviously the Mind Stone has been destroyed, so they want whatever's left of it, which is, you know, gave her powers, which is also, you know, mental organism designed only for killing, and you've got AIM involved. And if you look at all the other stuff that Marvel's got going on, you've got the MODOK comic by Patton Oswalt. They're doing the animated show on Hulu that he's doing. And MODOK's in the video game that just came out last year. And that's very Marvel to capitalize on something like that and put it all out there, because if it's popular, they're going to buy up all aspects of it, you know? So I really think we're going to see MODOK.
Yeah, and he has the AIM stuff going on. The thing I would wonder is if that would split from at the end there, as like we find out AIM infiltrated S.W.O.R.D.
Yeah,
and we just see them split, and we'll actually finally get AIM as beekeepers. Like I want Beekeeper Bob. And then I want S.W.O.R.D. to go into space. So
I could see that, because it's kind of similar to the way Hydra infiltrated S.H.I.E.L.D. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. was just kind of doing its own thing, and then you find out like, oh, here they are. You know, all of S.H.I.E.L.D. is pretty much Hydra. So yeah,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised if you're right, if that was, you know, what happened. So
Ron would like you to watch WandaVision together so you can explain everything to him in real time. He also says we know too much. He's not wrong.
Well, and it also, I mean,
you when
all week about it.
I was gonna say, when you work in our industry, like if you're one of those people that likes to come in and talk to us, like think about how many other people do that to us. We're gonna pick up stuff. Like, the reason we can recommend things to people is because people recommend them to us. We go check them out, and then we can be like, oh man, that was awesome. Go check this out. So, you know, our entire industry is an organic thing. So yes, we do know a lot of stuff. Oh, Carl is saying Mephisto.
Yes.
I'm on board with that. As long as it's better than Ghost Rider.
It's Ralph. It's Ralph.
What? It's
her husband.
No.
I've talked about this with some people. She keeps talking about her husband, Ralph. And we know that she's Agnes.
Right.
Or Agatha Harkness. Yeah. You know. So she keeps saying, my husband. You haven't seen him yet. I mean, it's only been two episodes, but I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, because she... Somebody had said something that there was a date that was mentioned for her birthday, which is the Salem witch trials date. So if that's true, that's when she went to Mephisto to save me. Right. So,
yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Ralph is.
Mephisto. I wouldn't be surprised either. Like, I mean, that'd be kind of cool. I just hope he is better than he was in the Ghost Rider movie, really, honestly.
Yeah, like, I don't like, remember Blackheart? It was so disappointing when they did like Blackheart, and it's just like, yeah,
I was just that's actually what I was gonna say next. Was I really hope if they mention a kid, which I don't think Blackheart was her kid, but if they mention like my stepson or whatever,
yeah,
and Blackheart doesn't eventually become wicked awesome squid head Blackheart. Yeah. I'm going to be very sad because we did not get him the way we should have in Ghost Rider. I like that he was there. The dude kind of played the character right, but yes, he didn't look as cool as he should have.
And I think if this was like...
Why did we end up talking about Ghost Rider?
Sorry. I think because we're talking about Mephisto.
I know.
I think if this was an ABC or, you know, TV, like a syndicated TV show,
yeah.
That would probably be the cheap way that they would do that. But knowing that this is Marvel and this is on Disney Plus and that they put a budget into this, like they were doing a movie, I think if we do get Mephisto, we're going to get him the way that we know him. Yeah. I really feel that way. I don't think they're going to cop out. You know?
I'm really hoping at least. That'd be freaking baller.
Yeah. So
overall, I definitely, like, I understand the people that wanted more action. But this, I thought, it felt to me like the first act of a movie, right?
Yeah.
Like this, if you break it around, it's first act. Oh yeah, this is my little girl Lola. Ron says hello. I really felt like the first act. Like, I think once we get to like and they even said like the last three episodes are going to be very action. But it felt right for the shows that they were trying to imitate. And you know, is this just when they were trapped in the room, like in those rooms growing up, like, is this just all they watched was old sitcoms? And that's how the reason why all this stuff is happening like this. Cause that makes sense. Yeah. And I have to say, the joke about the boxes don't move themselves, I shit my pants. I laughed so hard. I was like, oh my God, that is the best joke I've ever heard. It fits so well. So
I thought that there was that part at the end, and we've seen Wanda kind of do like that rewind, that creepy rewind in Ultron. And things are kind of going weird and she's outside and then she's just like, nope. And everything kind of rewinds, you know? Yeah. And then that layer peels away and everything starts to become colorized.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen her say no before in the comics, no more mutants, you know? Right.
We're going to hear a no at the end of every episode that changes something slightly. And then exactly. That's what we're going to get.
And you know, is this stuff that is, you know, you saw people monitoring her, you know, through a machine. So obviously this is in her head. But does this show amplify her powers? Is that where they're taking her instead of just, hey, I'm just doing these weird hand things and moving stuff? Right. Are they going to take her powers and strengthen her and make her more like, they mentioned Chaos. Remember the, his boss, he's like, there's so much chaos in your house, which I think was a great reference to the chaos magic that she has.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe they're building up to that. Let's make her stronger. Let's make it more weird. Cause that would feel like that would fit with everything that they're going to do in Multiverse of Madness. you know?
Right.
Let's get weird. So
yeah, I think I think they're gonna get it to the point where she cracks the world or cracks reality. Like like she becomes the reality stone basically and just cracks it hard. And you know, that's why she has to team up with Doctor Strange to kind of fix it, and that'll be the multiverse of Phantom Madness. That's where I'm leading to. I know it started filming this week or last week, I think. So
yeah, that started filming, and there was a couple other things that have Spider-Man, I think Tom Holland said he already filmed his stuff for Multiverse of Madness.
Yep. And Spider-Man 3 starting to film.
And, yep.
Yeah. So and then Black Widow may get pushed back again. At this point, like after it's been pushed back a whole year, what do you do?
Yeah.
I think you should just put it out. Just do it. Just do it.
Well, just they got it. As soon as this show ends, it's going to jump right into Falcon and Winter Soldier, unless pushing Black Widow changes that timeline. But last I heard, it was like kind of like 2 weeks after Mandalorian, this show hits, and then 2 weeks after this show ends, Falcon and Winter Soldier are supposed to hit. So, you know, if they, as long they have that coming, so maybe they're, that's why they're not in such a hurry, but I don't know.
See, Ron agrees with me. We will never see Black Widow.
We'll never see it.
I'm not super excited to see it anyway. I mostly want to see it for Red Guardian, I'll be honest, and Taskmaster.
It's gonna be like that unreleased Fantastic Four film.
I own that on DVD, by the way.
The one that had like the budget of like $3,000 or something. Dude,
did you ever watch the documentary on that? It is phenomenal. I think it's on Amazon. I can't remember what it's called, but it is amazing. Like,
okay,
it is really, really, really good.
So. When I was a kid, and this was before, obviously, the internet and things like that, I had heard about that movie. And I went into D's Video in Charleroi, where I live. And every week, I'm like, do you guys have that Fantastic Four movie? I'm like, what the hell are you talking about, Fantastic Four movie? I'm like, you have that Fantastic Four movie now? Nobody ever knew, you know?
I'm going to look it up. I want to make sure that you see this. Give me.
I'm really interested to see it if you can tell me what the title is, because.
Have you seen it, though? Like, have you actually watched
the movie? I've watched the movie, but I've never watched the documentary.
Okay. Let's see. Because Rebecca Staub's in the documentary as well. It is. Wow, she did a lot of Hallmark movies. almost there. Maybe.
They even referenced that in Arrested Development.
Oh, really?
In one of the newer seasons, Tobias is dating a woman who played Sue Storm in the unreleased Fantastic Four movie. And then they're in a methadone clinic together, which he thinks is called a Method One acting clinic.
Really?
And he gets a hold of the Thing suit, and he goes to his daughter's house looking for her. And they have a dateline with what was the guy that was like, hey, why don't you take a seat? Let's have a talk. That was always hunting for the predators.
Oh, right.
How to catch a predator.
It's called Doomed. Doomed. The untold story of Roger Corman's The Fantastic Four. And it, like, I'm being serious. It was probably one of the best. I like documentaries, and it was one of the best documentaries I've ever watched. Cool. Like, I really, really check it out. It. Also, check out the one that's about Bill Finger, like the other guy that created Batman.
Okay.
Like, it's also, I think, on Amazon, and it's super great, and it just talks about how he basically got screwed out of it by Bob Kane, and then how his family eventually made it back to the point where DC said, yeah, he also did. Yes, definitely did create it. Was really good too. So, all right, let's talk about real quick Batwoman season 2, episode 1. So in Ohio yesterday, and I'm talking to Bo about it, and I'm like, so again, spoilers if you haven't watched the show or you don't care, I'm going to spoil some stuff. So, Hush being Batman face, like being actual Bruce Wayne face. We now know what Bruce Wayne looks like in the Arrowverse. Freaking awesome. He was really well done as Hush. Even more than he was at the end of season one. Although at the end of season one, we got to see him with like the wrapped face and the guns and the trench coat. And that was cool. This time we get to see him more the other way. And he is absolutely killer. I like the fact that this had a ton of action in it. And it left it open enough to, if Ruby Rose ever did decide to come back, they actually have that kind of still open for that.
Yeah.
Although I thought the how we're going to write her out of the show and have this other person find the Batwoman suit was like a little too convenient for me.
That was the part that I think kind of held it back. I mean, it was a good episode for what they had to cover, for being, you know, for having to come in. Here's this new character. How do we explain that she's gone? I think they did a pretty good job. I think now moving forward, the episodes will be even better. Now that they've kind of got that out of the way, there was no way that they were going to be able to do that first episode without answering those questions somehow. So,
well, they also didn't like the last season, they actually didn't have enough time to actually wrap it up right. So they never got to shoot the actual finale because of the pandemic. So I think they were like two or three episodes short of finishing it. So they kind of had to figure out a good storyline to cut and paste. And I thought they did okay with it. But I just thought it just felt a little too convenient for me.
I think she's going to make a really good Batwoman though.
I did too. I'm curious to see how this whole plays out, because literally she's been in three panels of a single book and she's had maybe 20 words spoken in that book. And that was
Batgirl 50. Yeah. This year. Yeah. Good luck finding it if you haven't found one.
That's why. I thought the Batmobile looked okay, but it was a little too normal car for me. I really wanted it to have like a big freaking bat symbol on it. Now
I'm jumping in my Batmobile. It's a 2018 Kia Forte. Shit.
No, it was like a 2021 Corvette. So. Yeah. How did that exist? How did he not know it was there? Like, when is this taking place? At what point in time is this taking place? Is this like in the future because it's been hidden and Bruce has been gone for 5 years? And Luke goes, I didn't know it was there at all.
Yeah.
So how does he not know it's there for 5 years if it's a 2021?
Yeah, they do that a lot in TV shows where they're like, hey, this is the time period we're in. And then here's this car that's like five years down the road.
Oh, like The Walking Dead, where it's like, shit's been stopped for a long time. How do you have this brand new car?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And how is the gas not just like turpentine at this point, or water? Ron asked, did we see Swamp Thing yet? Is it any good? I watched most of it. I have to catch up on the last two episodes, I believe, but I really enjoyed it as a Swamp Thing fan. And I watched it on the CW side. I watched it on the CW side, and I'm probably going to watch the last two episodes on HBO Max because I now have that. I did the 6 month thing, and I'm probably going to do that. I really enjoyed the show. I thought it was very well done. I really hope they do a season two on CW, and it's kind of up in the air right now.
Because they had issues with like tax refunds and stuff they were supposed to get, or tax breaks they were supposed to get in Atlanta, right?
Yeah, it was totally like an Office Space thing where like somebody put the decimal point in the wrong spot.
And yeah.
They basically broke even.
That's the reason why I didn't watch it. I don't know really a lot about Swamp Thing, but I heard it was that it was good. But when I found out that they weren't moving forward with the season two, that, you know, right before I think even season one came out, they announced that. No, there's not going to be a season two.
It was when episode one hit.
Yeah.
The day episode one dropped, they announced that. Yeah.
So that kind of killed it for me. And then watching Titans killed it for me even more, because I thought if this goes in the same direction that the Titans TV show goes, then I'm out, because they took characters I love and it's just like, hey, how can we say the F word so many times? Now I have more hope for Titans season three, since it's moving to HBO and it's got a bigger budget. Starfire's already got, you've seen her outfit and it looks good. So she doesn't have to be like a Russian prostitute anymore. So I'm gonna move forward with season three and try it. But you know, them canceling Swamp Thing right when the show launched, and then what I knew from the first two seasons of Titans is kind of why I didn't go into Swamp Thing. So
Swamp Thing was very good. I would recommend you at least check out the New 52 run of Swamp Thing, like the first volume, or the first, like the Scott Snyder stuff was very, very good, and it tied into Animal Man.
And which is funny because I did read Animal Man when it came out in New 15, and it is the first and only time that I read Animal Man because I liked the art. I liked looking at, like, there was a lot of like veins and stuff, and it had stuff with his kids connected to that Animal Force or whatever it was called.
Right.
So,
yeah, I mean, did you like the Rot World story stuff that was tying into that? Because that's what was crossing over, like the red, the green, and the black.
I just read the main title, and I think I probably read in like maybe the first dozen issues.
Okay. I think Rot World was the second story. So,
okay. Because I think like most people, after the first like 10, 12 issues of anything New 52, just about anything, I was out, especially after they ruined Teen Titans. That might have been the biggest crime of all in the New 52 was what they did with Teen Titans.
So. I would probably say, I think the first 24-ish issues of New 52, 24 to 26, like the halfway point, I thought was where that, where the New 52 started to slide. Especially
and
Batman.
Not to say the, well, and not to say that the Batman stuff up to that point wasn't good. It's just, I guess what other, they always put a lot of time and effort and stuff into Batman stuff. I want to know what they're going to do with all the other characters.
Green Lantern was like that. Flash was like that.
Yeah.
Swamp Thing, Animal Man, like the first half of the New 52 for almost every book was really great. Wonder Woman.
Flash was the one that I read the most of.
Oh yeah.
Because it, I know Green Lantern supposedly didn't really change much because it was Geoff Johns was writing that. So he's like, oh, it's my baby. I don't want to mess with it.
Right.
But Flash kind of felt the same. It just felt like Flash. And then they moved forward with the same creative team for the first part of Rebirth. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed Flash. That's probably the one I read the most of.
Well, out of the Green Lantern universe, we also got the Red Lantern book, which was freaking amazing.
Because that's when you got to see your guy become a Red Lantern.
And you got to see Supergirl become a Red Lantern. And it is like the coolest thing ever. And every time I think about that, I remind myself of right before the New 52, there was a Legion of Superheroes. I don't remember if it was a mini or if it was a full thing. I think it was Legion Lost was what it was. And it basically, they're all like gone, right? And all the Green Lanterns are gone. And Mon-El like comes across this weird like fetus guardian thing that's just like floating, but it's like got a kind of a guardian face. And he becomes the last Green Lantern in the universe. Who was it? Sodom Yat is like, I'm dead, like I'm dying. Ringo finds somebody that can do this. So that was the first time we saw a Kryptonian level character with a Green Lantern ring. And it was awesome to see that. So then to see it with Kara getting a Red Lantern ring, that was even crazier because you had the acid spit.
And I
love Dexter a lot. So I have a stuffed one somewhere in my house.
Does Superman end up getting a ring at some point in the Blackest Night?
Yes.
Does he get a ring? I believe he does.
I don't remember which one he does though. I think it's I think he's not the blue.
Because it was like him.
He's a Yellow Lantern.
Batman.
It's Yellow Lantern. He does fear.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Batman is yellow, Flash is blue. Adam is indigo.
Lex was orange.
And Oh man, I'm missing some. Somebody was a Red Lantern. Now I can't remember, but now I really want to read Blackest Night, which I probably won't do because that's a lot.
Yeah.
But anyway, go back, watch the first season of Batwoman, and then check out this new episode. If you haven't watched it, it is actually pretty good. The only thing I will say is there are times, and I said it to someone like this, there are random moments of almost like a PSA message in a lot of the episodes. So it's like you're listening to a record and someone just picks up the needle and puts it back down slightly fat. Like, it's like, never mind, we're back. Like, like, but for that brief moment, it's going to be like some kind of PSA message. And I don't like agendas being pushed on me. Like,
yeah,
but I support a lot of the agendas that were pushed in there. I just don't really, I felt it kind of like record scratch, you know what I mean? Like, it just didn't quite, it took away from the storytelling. Like, it was a moment of a wall, or speed.
You got to find a way to do that more naturally fluidly into the storyline. Yeah. Than to just be like, let's stop real quick and talk about this issue, you know?
Right. So that's kind of the only reason that that's really the only complaints I ever had about the show. But other than that, I thought it was very good. I actually thought Ruby Rose did very good as Kate. I really want Betty, they call her Mary in the show, they call her Betty in the comics. I really cannot wait for her to go Flamebird at some point. Because that would just be cool. It'd be cooler if they had a Nightwing show up, because it'd be Nightwing and Flamebird. You know, the old Superman stories, because that's where they got the inspiration for the titles from. So but you know, maybe we'll see. I don't know. So but I don't, when does the rest of the CW stuff start, or did it start and I missed it?
I don't think it started yet.
Okay.
I think this was the first thing, unless I missed it too, but I've just been on WandaVision in my brain all week. It's like, that's just everything. I've been watching videos. It's all anybody wants to talk about. Well, rightfully so. It was really good. So,
Well, I'm in the middle of a Doctor Who rewatch still, and I just got to the episode where Clara becomes the companion. And she is my least favorite companion, so I'm going to begrudgingly watch the rest of these episodes until Bill comes around and then saves it. But because Clara just stuck around way too long. I really like, I just recently, like probably an hour and a half ago, finished Angels Take Manhattan. Have you ever watched Doctor Who, Tim?
No, I have not.
Okay.
I'm just kind of absorbing.
So Angels Take Manhattan is the farewell episode for Rory and Amy Pond. And they are my second. I have to put them together now, because I forgot really how much they were together in every episode. But
yeah,
Amy specifically is like my second favorite companion after Rose. And it just was like tear jerky. It was really rough. Anytime a companion leaves, sometimes it can be very, very sad, because they usually give them like a cool send off. And this is like one of the best send offs they ever did. So if you don't know anything about Doctor Who,
I watched like
episode and it's going to be like, what?
I've watched like 5 minutes of it, and it was like, it wasn't until it came to commercial that I knew I was watching Doctor Who.
Because
I hadn't even known what Doctor Who was. And it was like, there was a grave, somebody was dead, this woman was there, and then there was a robot that was there. I don't know what the robot was doing.
So was Peter Capaldi the doctor at that point? Older guy, gray hair.
I don't remember seeing a doctor. I remember seeing somebody that was maybe like a sidekick or something that was a girl.
Yep.
Maybe that was Clara. That was in love with him, I think.
That was Clara. Yeah.
Okay.
So
that was all I saw, and I was like, this is freaking weird. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was like toward the latter or toward the middle of the Peter Capaldi era. I'm about 4 seasons till that point yet. I got 4 more seasons to that point, and then there's 4 more seasons after that I got to get through. So
I've been binging The Simpsons. That's, you know, since I'm working from home and like I'm on slight leave, I'm like, I'm going to try and get through all of The Simpsons. I'm a month into being at home and I'm only on the sixth season.
Out of what? Like, don't they have like
32?
Oh, I was like 33, right?
The 32nd season is on now, but they have up to season 31 on Disney Plus. So I don't think I'm going to make it.
So, I don't know.
Not before I come back.
Well, I was going to say, you've been on, well, let's do the math. You've been on leave for, what, 4 weeks?
4 weeks.
Four weeks? Okay, 4 weeks.
Six seasons.
So you're going to get through at least another six in another 4 weeks. And then there's probably two or three more after that. So, yeah, okay, you're going to get like halfway.
Yeah.
if you do it at the same pace you're doing now, if you really push for it, I think you can make it. I believe in you.
If I commit to it. I can't come to bed.
Who sleeps? Simpsons. Yeah. So, no, you're like in the era of watching The Simpsons constantly. Like,
yeah.
Like seasons like 6 through 10 were pretty much like the era that I watched it religiously.
I always thought the definitive Simpsons started around the third season. The last maybe like 10 years, I probably haven't watched maybe but an episode here or there. Too. I try to catch the Treehouse of Horror whenever it comes on, but that was kind of my motivation. I'm like, I love the Simpsons, and I haven't watched these later. Seasons, so I'm gonna start at the beginning and watch. I will get all the way to the point where I haven't watched, and then I won't get any further. So I'll have to be back at work.
But. Right? You can't watch any more WandaVision. You have to watch only Simpsons.
Yeah.
No, it's fine. You'll be all right. If you make it to season 10, season 12, I'll be impressed.
Okay.
So that's like a
challenge accepted.
I mean, that's almost a third of the way through, or it's a little over a third of the way through. So,
yeah.
All right. Other than that, I just got a cool. I saw one of my buddies sent me a link. Josh Jeppy, son of Steve Jeppy, has been made the CCO of Diamond Comics today. That's awesome. Congratulations to Josh. He's a super cool dude. I've had many of the drinks at Baltimore with him. He is a very in tune with what goes on with the world now guy. And I think he's in a very good position to make Diamond, to bring Diamond to into the now a little more. I feel like every business during the shutdown or post shutdown is trying to make those leaps and get caught up to where they probably should have been. You know, ourselves included, like look at our website. Like you can now go to and shop all the stores. Like that was something you couldn't do before. You know, there's a lot of that kind of stuff. And it's awesome. So
if he can get them to put my variants in a sleeve on top of other books instead of on top of Apollo toys.
The last couple times I have done the Diamond shipment for Cranberry.
Yeah.
The variants that were more than anything that was over like a 1 in 10 came in its own Gemini mailer.
Instant of that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So if they do that. That
I think it was 1 in 25s more. It might have been 1 in 50s, but
that's a step in the right direction. So
it is. And I really appreciate that they do that.
Me too. Because it's very hard. You very seldom put that as damaged and then get a replacement.
That is also true, very very true. So cool. But yeah, well, that's pretty much where we're at, and so we'll be back next week with Bo and possibly Tim.
But if I'm on, the first thing I'm gonna do, I'm just gonna get like a fake Emmy and be like, you like it. You really like it. They brought me back.
I mean, I think it'll be good, especially weeks that we don't have guests. It's always good to have the extra person to help move the conversation along. So, thank you, Ron Gamiss. Love everything you guys have done during these crazy times. I am an NDC fan forever.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. we love guys like you. We love our loyal guys. We love the guys that come in once a blue moon.
I do those dollar auctions every couple weeks, and he makes sure that there's not a book without a bid on it. He, you know, if there's three books and there's zero bids, he gets in there $2, $2, $2. So
awesome.
Ron's awesome. Yep.
Well, I personally very much so appreciate that. And I know, speaking for everyone that works at the company, we all appreciate that. So, thank you for your continued support. Always. We appreciate it always. But if there's anybody you guys, want us to, try to get his guests or stuff you want us to talk about. Yes, you can. Wait, did you get a definite date yet?
I got it. Yes, I did.
Okay.
March 11th, we will have Marvel comic artist and Devil's Due comic artist Ashley Witter and her husband, Ash. I think is it Mazco? Is that how you pronounce it?
I believe so. I mostly just always refer to them as Team Ash because
Team Ash. That's what I do. Yeah. So, but we're gonna have both of them on. They have a project that they're working on that they're excited to announce, and she's one of my favorite cover artists. So I'm excited to have them on.
Ooh, Ron wants to see Scott McDaniel. I may be able to make that happen. Ooh. I am wearing his art today on my shirt.
Yes, I noticed. That's 2 weeks in a row we got the.
I might reach out to him because I know that Black Box has a lot of cool stuff coming out. So we could probably talk to him about that a little bit and talk to him about, growing up in Pittsburgh and doing Pittsburgh art
stuff. He's awesome. He's always got his mom at the cons with him.
I know.
I love so mom awesome. Like
Yeah,
he's so cool. So that would be great to have him on.
Yeah, I might poke Robert Hack. He's kind of local too. I'll try to poke Dave Wachter since he just did that awesome Iron Fist book, and see if he wants to come on. I did have a promise of a joint show. With another local podcast, with another local podcast at some point, I just need to talk to them and confirm. But there's some good guys, and I've been on their show before. And there's some guys from another podcast that's a very very large and very cool, and they have supported us a lot. That I will probably talk to you about having on our show, and then maybe we'll go on their show, and it'll be fun. But anyway, we're kind of at the point where we're rambling. So thanks everybody for listening. Remember, you can listen to us on Spotify and you should be able to do it on iTunes, but it's being dumb. So we'll see you next week, 7 p.m., same place, and then it'll hit our website shortly thereafter. So thanks a lot, guys, for listening and watching, and we will catch you next week.